welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire.
I think on that note, we should open up in a little prayer. Oh, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to bring this word, Lord, to these people. Father, I pray that I stay close to the word, Lord, not to veering off into opinion or vainglory, Lord. Lord, I pray that this word touches people's hearts and minds, Lord. I bring it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Earlier on in the week, Wednesday to be precise, Paul said to me, "What are you doing this Sunday?" So before I really got a chance to think about what exactly I was doing, he says, "Because you're preaching." So I thought, well, I guess I better turn up then. And right then I felt like a trap door had opened up under my feet and I was plunging into an abyss. But I said to Paul, "Any particular subject you want me to talk about?" And he says, "No, just preach about what God's been saying to you." So right there and then I thought, yeah, I know what I'm going to say. So in the Go Deeper conference recently, Jared Cooper brought his prayer journal along and showed us it all. So I brought my prayer journal along. Because it's got what God's been saying to me. So I thought, I know, I'll listen to the message I gave a few months ago, just for evaluation purposes, you understand. So I listened to this message and I thought, Lord, I sound northern. Because half of our church is southern. So, but we don't have a north-south divide here, no, we're all one in Christ here. I thought, man, I sound northern. And worse than that, I sound Bradfordian. Because you can always tell somebody who comes from Bradford because they pronounce it Bradford. And it's B-R-A-T-F-U-D, in case you didn't get that. So, with that in mind, if you're listening on the internet, I apologise for the northern accent. I assure you my flat cap is on, my whippet is parked outside, and the racing pigeon will be released as soon as I get home. So, on that note, I'd like to go to Philippians 3. If you want to follow in your Bible. I change my glasses, seeing all these words are just blurring into one. That's better. Right, I suppose you could entitle this message, Growing in Maturity. But before you think, oh man, that's going to be boring, I really believe that God's going to do business here today. You know, I believe that the word that Joanna gave earlier on, you know, I believe that this word is going to echo what she said, and that people's hearts will be touched and the minds will be touched. But I'd like to start here, Philippians 3, verse 7, but just before I launch into that, basically, the Apostle Paul's talking about what he was like before he was saved, and the fact that he puts no confidence in his flesh. He had all the credentials. He had perfect Pharisaical performance. He had gone through all the rituals, and the Jews would have been very impressed with the way he conducted his business. But in verse 7 he says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord, for whom sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Now, in another translation, it says, "I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done for me." He was talking about all his past achievements, the negatives and the positives, and he regarded getting to know Jesus and getting closer to Jesus as his number one priority. And I love, he really puts it emphatically in the King James Version. In this NIV that I'm reading from, it says, "I consider them all rubbish." But in the King James, it says, "And I do count them, but dung." You know, this is what it says in the Bible. I mean, in those days, there's donkeys everywhere, the little piles in the road. And that's what he considered his past life was worth. Yeah, I mean, that's just amazing. And also it says in another translation, everything is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I've discarded everything else, counting all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. So he really, really he wants to encourage us to press on in, towards the goal. So in verse 12 it says, not that I have already obtained all this or been made perfect. Well, the word perfect here really means mature, not because there was only one perfect man and nailed him to a cross. But Paul's not talking about being made perfect. He's talking about being made mature, perfect in the eyes of the Father. In my notes here, it says, be perfect. Oh, in Matthew 5, it says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We can be perfect if our behavior is appropriate for our maturity level. Perfect, yet with much room to grow. So this is what Paul's getting at. He says, not that I've already been made perfect, but I press on. And I love that. I press on to take hold of all that Christ Jesus has called me to or took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But this is fantastic, this bit. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, that's the negatives and the positives. Bear in mind that Paul's saying all those positive credentials he had, he's forgetting all that and straining to what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. He presses on. Now again in the King James Bible it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To grow in maturity really is the high calling of God. I had a fantastic message about this years ago from John Bevere from when we were at Faith Camp, I think it was. The high calling of God. What is the high calling of God over your life? To get to be more and more like him. To grow closer to him. This is the high calling. So with that in mind, I'd like to go over into Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Bit of following the Bible verses for you. Now, when I first got saved, I devoured the Word of God, and the fruits of the Spirit is one of those scripture passages which I studied into as a brand new Christian. And recently, God's taken me back to it. Because it doesn't matter how many times you've read a Bible verse, how many times you think you know something. You know, God's word is always fresh and there's always something new to get from it. So it took me back to the fruit of the Spirit, which, as I said, studied into. And we'll read it together now. Verse 22, chapter 5, Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Well, in my prayer journal recently, now a prayer journal, I don't know if any of you do a prayer journal. I go through phases of doing it all the time, doing it none of the time, or doing it some of the time. And I believe it's appropriate. Whatever phase you're at, it's appropriate. You know, I don't force it. It's sometimes I feel like entering in an entry in this prayer journal. It's nothing glorious. It's just a pad. And sometimes God can speak to you in a really special way through pen and paper, different to a word. I mean, yes, we get words from God in worship. We get words from God in his private Bible study. But just when you have a pen and paper in your hand, I really believe he speaks to you. And I'd written, Lord, let the fruit of the Spirit shine more brightly and clearly through me. Lord, I want to exhibit Christ's characteristics more and more. Help me to do this, Lord. Love, joy, and peace in more abundance. Patience, kindness, and goodness more evident. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control growing all the time. I like the way that self-control is at the end. It's the last thing. You know, everything comes from love. The first item mentioned on that list, everything comes from love. But the last thing is self-control. Now, if I was going to arrange this, I'd probably put self-control a lot closer to the front. But self-control is a product of growing walking with the Spirit and growing in Christ, and self-control sometimes comes at a cost. You know, the cost is just getting closer to the Lord and just walking with him. And then I felt myself being led into different directions slightly in this prayer journal. And I think it's important not to be resistant. And if you hear something coming into your mind, you think, I don't like the sound of this, just keep writing. So I got to I don't like the sound of this part, but kept writing. Lord, let this not just be a sweet prayer, but the beginning of real change in me. Prepare me for the test, Lord. Father, if I'm serious about this, I would ask you to test me in this, to give my faith chance to grow. Help me in the test. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your patience and forbearance with me. Not a brave boy. Could be a foolish boy, but I'm foolish for Christ. You know, I could be even more undignified or foolish than this, said David. You know, I didn't willingly write this. The pen kind of went on its own. But I thought, go with it. It's bound to get better. But God said in Malachi, test me in this. And I felt like I was saying to the Lord, test me in this, Lord. When you're talking about Gideon's life, he throws down a fleece and he tests God. But I'm asking God to test me. But I know that there's going to be pain in this and heartache and hard work, but there's going to be blessing because when we're doing what God tells us to do, man, it's so good. So another entry in this prayer diary, it says, Lord, as a student learns and then is tested midway or at the end of their course, so shall it be with me, Lord. How else would the student know or gauge what they have learnt so far without the test? How else would they know what they still have to accomplish? As 2 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. So it's a scriptural, biblical concept to test ourselves. How else would we know how we're doing in the walk? And let's face it, God is going to test us. We might as well be a willing partner with him, because he is going to test us. And just recently, I've been looking at events that happened in the cafe. As you may or may not know, Carol and I run Solid Rock Cafe in the bottom end of Scarborough. And I've been looking at things that have happened there as a test. And a while ago, I thought, Lord, why do I keep failing? Why do I keep having to take this test? He says, because you keep failing the test. You know, my daughter took her driving test a few times before she passed. Why did she have to keep taking that? Because she'd failed previously. But the failure of the test just served to push her on further with the view to passing that test. So really, the Lord tests us, but it's not in a vindictive sort of way. It's in a way that so that we grow and we expand in our faith. So it's scary being tested and asking him to test us, because you can be sure he will answer that sort of prayer. He will answer it. And I've been seeing everything that's come into the cafe recently as a test. And rather than groaning inwardly in my spirit, I've been thinking, yes, this is another opportunity to pass the test and to grow. So we're back in the fruits of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace. Oh, fantastic. Everything comes from love. We're moving to joy now. Joy. Joy. There was something that I got recently that was so amazing about joy. And I love spending time in Proverbs. Oh, Proverbs are so wonderful. He says, killing time till he flicks to the right page. Found it. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Now in the Message it says, a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. And the notes to these cheerful scriptures were so good. It says, to be cheerful is, this is a definition of cheerful, to be ready to greet others with a welcome, to offer a word of encouragement, to have an enthusiasm for the task at hand, and a positive outlook on the future. I thought, this is a mission statement, not only for my life, but for Solid Rock Cafe. Because Paul, the Apostle Paul, was talking about his past. And my past is one of negative thinking and negative mindset, which I've spent years trying to break out of. And to me, to be cheerful has taken effort. But God's word has given me that ammunition and that enthusiasm to accomplish it. I used to get the devil whispering in my ear. You can always tell the difference when God speaks to you and when the devil speaks to you. God speaks to you, it's for your good, it's to lift you up, it's to help you to grow. And it usually comes in a sharp word and it's there. Anything that you add to it afterwards is usually from yourself, not always, but often is. But the devil, when he speaks to you, he comes as a snake, as a sly, slippery liar. But his words are always designed to pull down, to make you feel small, to make you feel inadequate. So I used to get the devil saying to me, you can't do this. What can't I do? Just be nice to somebody when they come in. Because my grouchy, natural, fleshy nature always seemed to take over. And I took hold of these notes, and this cheerful heart is good medicine. I thought, I'm running with this. Curses to you, Satan. You can keep your curses. I'm cursing you. So I thought, I'm going to do this. And it's really worked for me to greet others with a welcome. Well, how hard is that for me? It was, it could be hard. A word of encouragement. It's so easy when other cafe owners come in our cafe to talk about the state of the economy, this and that and other. And man, it's so easy to get into a negative downward spiral, a negative mindset about how bad the economy is, how there's loads of other cafes opening and how quiet business is. But no, I'll come against that. I'm going to greet others with a welcome and a word of encouragement, not a negative word. I'm going to have an enthusiasm for the task at hand. I'm going to have joy in the work that I do. Yeah, it's only taken me 7 years to get that joy in the work that I do and realise that God's given me a fantastic gift. I mean, when we obeyed the call to come to Scarborough and open this cafe, we did it with a sense of duty. But I have a sense of joy about it now. I'm not saying that the past 7 years have all been drudgery, but, I've been on a journey from a wretch to somebody who's really walking with God and taking hold of what he's saying. So I now have enthusiasm for the task at hand. I'm so thankful for what he's asked us to do. And I have a positive outlook on the future. You only have to look at the news to get your outlook on the future knocked. The Eurozone and all this blooming malarkey that I can't pretend to understand. But I know it's not good. But hey, I've read the end of the book. I've read Revelation. We win. And so I'm going to have a positive outlook on the future. We've got 3 grandkids and people have said, oh, bringing kids into a world like this. Now, no, I'm speaking positive things over them grandkids. And we are going to take the bull by the horns. We're going to crush the devil with our heel, like it says in Genesis. And we are going to be enthusiastic. We're going to be cheerful because it's good medicine. So I don't have time to go into all of these different scriptures, all these different words within the fruit of the Spirit, because it's a whole Bible study in itself. But I will just pick out one: goodness. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. It's an easy word to overlook. Goodness. And in one of my Bibles, in the study notes, it talks about letting Jesus' light shine from you. So that Acts 4:13 puts it great. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I want people to see that I've been with Jesus. Not in a proud sort of way. But I want to be able to affect people's lives. I want to come against negativity in their lives. And I want them to see that Jesus can touch their lives. So goodness, it's an easy word to overlook, but it's a precious word. So, and I could talk about self-control, and maybe I will do, but we've got to gallop on. So what I really want to talk to you right now is turning our back on the old nature. Paul the Apostle says, in my flesh I know there dwells nothing good, but when I'm walking with the Spirit, it's very good. So if you go in the same chapter, Life by the Spirit, verse 16, Galatians 5, verse 16. And Paul the Apostle says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. And in Romans it says you're not under law, but you're under grace. Now then, I thought to myself, years I've struggled with the flesh and negative thinking. And recently I've took hold of this verse 16, live by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And I thought, Lord, I'm doing something wrong here. Because although I'm trying my best to follow you, I am gratifying the desires of my sinful nature. All right, not adultery or anything like that, but just in minor things, you know, like negative mindsets and just being miserable and not being cheerful. So it says here in the scripture, live by the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I thought, well, God's word does not lie. It says you will not, so I must be doing something wrong. So I mustn't be living by the spirit. So I realized that I was trying to do it in my own strength. You know, Dave Gilpin spoke recently about keeping in step with the spirit, keeping in rhythm with the spirit. And this is the same thing, live by the spirit. You know, in the King James Version, it says, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I realized I was focusing on the wrong thing. I was focusing on the will not and not focusing on the live by the spirit. Now then, I have a funny story with this, and it is actually quite a weird thing that happens. I used to race motorbikes when I was in my early 20s, and it was a strange track, dirt bikes, and it was a strange track that had a tree right in the middle of it, right? And the track went either side of it. And I thought, mustn't ride into that tree. And it was very, very muddy and we were slipping all over. And I came round this course, I thought, mustn't ride into that tree. And I was thinking so hard about not riding into that tree. What did I do? Smack straight into the tree. So, you know, in the comedy that was on telly years ago, Frasier, he's trying to ride a push bike. He's too proud to admit that he can't ride a push bike. So he tries to ride this push bike and he keeps crashing into this post box because he's focusing on the post box, not the gap. He's focusing on the post box, so he crashes into the post box. And I was focusing on the you will not and not focusing on the live by the spirit. So I say now, if I live by the spirit, keep in step with the spirit and walk with the spirit, I will not. It comes as a natural byproduct. It just flows instead of being fleshy. And, you know, I mean, our flesh, I believe, as well as having the flesh, we've got spiritual flesh that tries to do good. But it's kind of a religious spirit. And it tries to do things by works. But we've got to flow in the spirit, live by the spirit. We've got to let the Holy Spirit do the work for us. And we've got to stay close to him. So I believe that if we live by the Spirit, we will not. And I think we can turn our back on our old nature. Because it says that the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. In A New Living, it says these two forces are constantly fighting each other and your choices are never free from this conflict. But now, that's scriptural. Our choices are never free from this conflict. But in Genesis, it says the older will serve the younger. Now, this story is talking about Jacob and Esau when they're in their mother's womb. Jacob was the second born. Only by moments, Esau was the firstborn. But Esau, the firstborn, ended up serving Jacob, the secondborn. And this is a picture, I believe, of a spiritual, scriptural principle that the older, the flesh nature, will serve the younger. I'm coming against the flesh nature, the old nature, and I'm going to say that my new nature, my spiritual nature, will be master over the old nature. Because do you know you can choose your own master? It says in the Bible that anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And I don't want to be a slave to sin. And I now realize I can choose my own master. And I choose Jesus and I choose the Holy Spirit. So in another translation, it says, when you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you need no longer force yourself to obey the law. And I thought, yeah, I don't need to force myself to live by the Spirit, and I will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. I don't need to force myself. I just need to keep in step with the Spirit, and it will just flow from that. So I want to go, having a look at the time. Yep, I want to go quickly to Romans 6. I mean, the whole of this area of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 is fantastic. You know, if you want to gain control over the flesh and you want to walk close to the Lord, just do a study on 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's fantastic. But I want to focus on verse 1 just for this moment. And it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, that phrase, done away with, if you look into the Greek, it means it doesn't mean to be extinct, but it means to be defeated or deprived of its power. But I really am praying, I'm not coming against Scripture, but I'm praying that it's not just disabled. I'm praying that it is crushed and fatally wounded, like it says in another translation, that part of you that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded. Our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. I'm praying that my old sinful nature is crushed and fatally wounded. I know our choices are never free from the conflict that's within us, but we do have a choice to choose our own master. So further down, it says in verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Verse 14, for sin shall not be your master because you are not under law but under grace. Verse 18, you have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. And all sorts of fantastic scriptures are there for us to just feed from. But, you know, we can consciously choose to treat the desires and temptations of the old nature as though they were dead, totally and utterly dead. With Christ's power, we can overcome temptation. Since we still feel like sinning, and sometimes we will sin, the difference is that before we were saved, we were slaves to our sinful nature, but now we can choose to live for Christ. We are no longer obligated to carry out those old motives, desire, and goals. And a Christian is not somebody who cannot sin, but someone who is no longer a slave to sin. So, you know, in the word for today, recently, it says we all experience things like rejection, physical and emotional, verbal or sexual abuse, poverty, rage, drug addiction, alcoholism, divorce, etc. Years later, we still struggle with things like low self-worth, marital failure, loneliness, depression, addiction, anxiety, anger control, and dysfunctional parenting. That having a bad start doesn't mean you can't have a great finish. Your life today is more than what happened yesterday. It's about what you do with what happened yesterday. You're more than a product of your environment. Whatever happened back then, you're now a new person. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. It's about what we do with yesterday. It's about beating the devil at his own game. It's about conquering negative thoughts. I used to have such a negative mindset that Carol and Jenny, my wife and daughter, would all be in the car together and they'd say, oh, let's pray for a parking space. And I used to think, this is ridiculous, is this? Why pray for a parking space? We're not going to find one. And what if we don't find one? Your prayer will prove to be useless. I mean, I was so backward in coming forward. You know, and they joyfully would pray for a parking space, even if there wasn't a parking space and we didn't find a parking space, because they weren't restricted by a negative mindset. So back in my prayer journal, I realised that this was a terrible way to think. And I've put, Lord, I totally come against this attitude in my makeup and my life. Lord, may I always pray for things, big or small, that may or may not be possible or work out in the natural. Lord, may I never again be scared of stepping out beyond my own understanding. May I always pray outside this box that I have put myself in. May I never again be confined by my own unbelief. The place of defeat before I pray, so why bother praying, is just where the devil wants us to be. We are not unaware of his schemes. We just don't always see them for what they are. Lord, I come against this, and I come against my flesh and my lack of desire to step out and act boldly. You know, it's a silly little thing. I'm not going to pray for a parking space in case I don't get one. But, you know, I got a picture from the Lord. I says, Lord, I'm going to pray for a parking space, because it's a big issue, is a parking space in Scarborough. When you live where we live, if you get a parking space, you don't move your car for a week, even if you need it, especially in summer. So I thought, Lord, I'm going to pray for a parking space, even if every single car is wheel clamped and there's no way that car, any of those cars can leave. I'm still going to pray for a parking space. Well, that's not foolishness. That's boldness. Because Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego said, before they were thrown into the fiery furnace, our Lord is able to save us. But if not, our Lord will still remain faithful to us, or worse to that effect. That "but if not" was a case of our Lord will save us, or he might not. It was a case of our Lord will save us, but if he chooses to go a different route, we'll still have faith in him. So I don't know about you, but I am going to pray bold prayers from now on. Because I once got a word, and the Lord said to me, you're scared of moving forward in case you slip back. You know, you're stuck in this little comfort zone where it was scary at first. You come to Scarborough, you open a cafe, it was scary at first, but you've now got everything arranged all around you. Anybody who has been near my counter in the cafe knows that I have everything arranged in a set way. All my pens point in the same direction. I have my pads there. Everything is arranged. That's called the comfort zone. I have one customer, bless her, who comes up and she knows my weakness. She grabs all my pens and muddles them all up. And I just smile sweetly and I think, this is a test. I have got a chance to pass it or a chance to respond in the flesh. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to crash into this tree. So, you know, I just want to close now. Because I think I've basically run out of time. But I just want to close and say, in Galatians 6:9 it says, let us not become weary in doing good. But can I also just adapt the scripture slightly? Let us not become weary in trying to do good or trying to be good. Because it says, at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Let's not give up trying to do good and be good. In Hebrews it says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And you know, the scripture that really, really, really underlines it all is in Galatians 5:6. It says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So the high calling of God is that we might get closer to him, that we might grow more in love. All those fruits of the spirits would flow from that. Self-control would come at the end so you don't hit anybody who rearranges your pens. And the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So my prayer to you is that you come against negative mindsets. You come against your past, whether it's good in your righteous works and you think you're good enough and you don't need the Lord, or you're good enough to get into heaven because of what you've done, or whether it's negative mindsets like abuse, turmoil, whatever. I pray that you can come against that, and with the Holy Spirit's help, you can gain victory and your future is going to be so bright you're going to need to wear shades. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.